have some relations with, let's say, non-mahrams and strangers on the cyberspace? Or no, it's totally haram and we have to refrain from doing it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see that talking about the interaction between opposite gender in cyberspace or in social media, it has actually not much difference between the, in person, or for example, you have it in social media.
Yeah.
Whatever is forbidden in interaction in person, you can have it in social media. For example, according to the verse of Noble Quran, when you want to talk to opposite gender, first of all, it should be in a decent way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, according to the verse of Noble Quran, to have the kinds of decent talking with opposite gender, not to have this kind of lustful talking to other, opposite gender. It is, according to the verse of Noble Quran, we have the, these kinds of interaction with opposite gender. The same idea is to the, social media. Again, mm-hmm. in social media, you cannot have this kind of lustful talk to the opposite gender. Rather, it should be in a very decent way.
Yeah.
But, it is theoretically speaking, we wanted to expand on some of the Islamic laws in this regard. But practically speaking, unfortunately, most cases, if not all, they are in a lustful way and they want to find some girlfriend and boyfriend. This is a problem, okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe some of them, they want to bring the excuse under the context of, for example, I want to get married. After a while, we want to get married. But as I said, in the most cases, it is not true, excuse. Yeah. Rather, they want to have free relationship between boys and girls. In the Islamic laws, very strictly, very clearly, that this kind of interaction, it is not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala...
Even if it is going to be ended with marriage?
As I said, if from the beginning, if you have the intention of marriage, mm-hmm. it is okay. From the beginning.
But if in the middle of the way, our mind changes?
I want to say, if it has been really changed, mm-hmm. okay, in that case, maybe you do not have any problem. But how about the beginning of that? Okay, mm-hmm. maybe 1 month, 2 months, you have some kind of interaction with the opposite gender. And after some month, you want to change your mind and go to the marriage. Okay, from that on, maybe you have chosen the best way. But how about the before that? You have done a lot of mistake during this process. I want to say that the point here is if you have the real intention of getting married, it is okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But if it is a mere excuse for expanding your relationship with opposite gender and to have these boyfriend and girlfriend, it is not acceptable.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Okay. How is it like, Sheikh, in case we are actually starting such relations with the intention of doing tabligh or preaching, but our target community are the opposite gender? Is it really eligible to start such action and start working on, let's say, people with and doing the preaching on this target community?
First of all, as I said, it's refer back to the intention of that preacher. If that individual wanted to preach, for example, Islamic message and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, that individual should be considered, first of all, your tie with the opposite gender should be in a decent way, yeah. Not to go to the personal affairs by the any excuse. You cannot go to the personal affairs and talk about the detail of the life that of that individual and so on and so forth. And another point is to limit your conversation with that opposite gender when it is necessary, for example, to share the Islamic faith and Islamic teaching. You have to expand and to elaborate on that. But beyond that, when it is not necessary, okay, you have to stop it. But another point is to remember that when you have the same gender, of course, the priority goes to the same gender, not to the opposite, opposite gender. I want to say that if you want to preach Islamic message and to share the Islamic message, first of all, we have to do it ourselves.
Very true.
What Islam recommends us to do, especially in the, we are living in the time and the era that the, maybe let's say, best ideas and the means for Satan to entrap faithful people is via the sexual interaction with the opposite
but
gender.
But some might say that, okay, the Holy Prophet of Islam was appointed as the prophet for men and women. And even the imams did their preaching and tabligh and did their preaching and promoting Islamic concept with different communities, including men and women. Why should we restrict ourselves only to men and prioritize our target community to only men, or not targeting the other, let's say, communities?
Maybe I could not explain it very well. I did not say that we should limit our preaching to, for example, to the same gender. Rather, I said that...
Yeah, I think you said your priority is with the same gender.
Yeah, of course, the priority is with the same gender. There is no doubt about that. When, for example, we have the female preacher, they can understand each other very well. So why... So the priority goes to them. Okay, rather than the opposite gender. When you talk to the, for example, same gender, you're just easily you can have interaction with him and you can give and share the Islamic message with that.
Definitely.
I want to say that, according to Islamic teaching, we do not want to say that to limit your preaching only to the same gender. Rather, we want to say that to have some observation if you want to preach Islamic message to the opposite gender.
Okay.
And of course, I mentioned what are these observations are.
And sometimes for those brothers and sisters who are active in cyberspace and actually have their own pages answering the questions and such and such issues, such and such activities, they are not actually going towards the opposite genders, but the question that comes to them is mostly from the opposite gender. So definitely it's their duty to answer those questions. But when there is a danger of, I don't know, being entrapped by some issues, what is the duty of that person?
Of course, maybe we have to go to the, cases itself. We want to check it out, what is exactly we are talking about, because it's different from case to case. It's different. We cannot give a general idea and general criteria, what is your responsibility, because as I said, it's different in a, when you are stuck in variety of situation. But we should always try to remember the criteria here and try to first of all observe Islamic laws when we want to preach and share Islamic faith with other, you know, fellow brothers and sisters, to really wanted to do that and really to have the real intention of sharing Islamic faith and Islamic teaching.
Or isn't it better to actually to guide the brothers and sisters who have come to us to another person who is at the same time knowledgeable and also with the same gender?
I want to say that what in the verse of Noble Quran we have, and I have to repeat myself, first of all, to have the decent talk. It is very important.
Yeah.
Decent talk. And then not to go to the personal affairs, okay, not to go to the lustful issues and the, for example, issues behind our needs and, you know, out of the, let's say, scope of the ideas and scope of the, you know, exchange of the idea. just to be focused on what is important and what is necessary for our talk, you know. But behind that, maybe it is not necessary to go toward that. And of course, as I mentioned, we have the, you know, verses of Noble Quran talking about the, let me share one of the verses, Muttakhidhat Akhdan, or in other verses, we have Muttakhidhi Akhdan, to have the opposite gender in order to, you know, to have the kind of illicit relationship, sexual relationship with the opposite gender. Because these verses talking about these issues, and to have the indecent relationship with the opposite gender.
Okay, thank you very much, dear Sheikh, and respected listeners. We have been talking about different issues and, let's say, different doubts and misconceptions in Islamic beliefs, and alhamdulillah, we have found it quite informative. I hope that you have enjoyed this session and this discussion, dear brothers and sisters. And faith till our next session. I'll live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Five young and rare Bonelli's eagles born on a breeding farm in France are taking a journey to Spain, where they will be released into the wild. These eaglets were born in captivity, which is a rare feat for this endangered species. Three of the five are ready to be released and have been fitted with GPS microchips for tracking purposes. Their initial release date was delayed because of several weeks of bird flu, which made traveling impossible. The other two eagles are too young to be reintroduced and are still being hand-fed from behind a curtain. They will make the journey sometime in July. The breeders, however, are worried about how to sustain the program as their birds begin to age. Pacto says his five pairs of eagles are aged between 18 and 30 years, and three of them are now too old to breed. He says the number of Bonelli's eagles had dropped dramatically since the 1980s, mainly to electrocution on high-voltage lines. Due to the reintroduction program, the population of these eagles has nearly doubled over the past two decades.
About a dozen penguins have been returned home after being given a second chance at life following their rehab in Argentina. The birds were rescued in the province of Buenos Aires and were transported to the Mundo Marino Foundation for evaluation. The Magellanic penguins were treated for malnutrition, dehydration, and parasites. The foundation's director says these pathologies are usually caused by climate change, food scarcity, and environmental pollution. vets say they are seeing more and more of these sorts of rescues. The bears were nursed back to health in one of the foundation's facilities in the town of San Clemente del Tuyo. They were later released back to their habitat in southern Chile. People in Poland have rolled out flower carpets for the feast of Corpus Christi held in the central village of Spiszemierz. Families usually arrange colorful and symbolic carpets for the procession on the road section in front of their homes. They use flowers picked from the surrounding fields or their own gardens. They also use soil, sand and fresh cut grass. The procession begins from the church and roams the streets of the village. The flower carpets have been rolled out annually since the tradition started 200 years ago, except for once when a storm broke out.
This tradition is 200 years old, and according to what the village elders say, it has only happened once that there was no carpet of flowers for the procession, because a storm broke out and swept everything away in the afternoon.
Families begin collecting the flowers a few days before the feast and arrange it on the celebration day. Besides its religious aspect, the event is also meant to express appreciation for nature. The practice has been passed from generation to generation ever since it began. The tradition was registered at UNESCO's Cultural Heritage List last year.
Artists have turned a historic village in the Tunisian island of Djerba into a vibrant open-air art museum. The organizer of the project says he has always had a clear vision for the gallery.
The goal of this project is to create a new way of displaying urban art, to create a museum, a real museum, which labels for the works with a certain lighting, certain works and staging. Also to create a dynamic to give this museum to the residents so that they could appropriate it and it almost becomes their business.
The project is called Djerbehud and it's located in a town of Eriyadh. Since 2014, about 150 artists from 35 different nations have gathered there to produce eye-catching street art. Tourists say they enjoy visiting the gallery because they can see something new every time they come round. Residents of the town are also content with the vibrant looks of their streets, saying the artwork give a little movement to their everyday lives. Japanese engineers have invented a four-legged robot that can easily move across rough terrain while carrying heavy loads. Japan's Kawasaki Heavy Industries has developed a quadrupled robot, believing it can help with labor shortage in the country's aging society. Dubbed Bex after the wild goat species Ibex, the robot features large curved horns. It can walk over rough terrain or move faster on smoother surfaces using wheels tucked in its underbelly. Bex was designed to perform tasks and carry humans in agricultural settings, thereby answering a labor crunch in rural Japan.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Another breakthrough in the world of science. Japanese scientists move one step closer to creating lifelike robots by changing their physical appearance. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have developed living skin on a robotic finger. To that aim, they have submerged the robot's finger into a cylinder filled with a mixture of the natural skin components. The lab-grown skin is water-repellent, has wrinkles, and can heal itself. A member of the research team explains how the innovation will be helpful in the future. Let's take a listen.
As for challenges in the future, since we've only produced a simple skin, we would like to add various sensory organs such as the nervous system and the vascular system. We would like to further improve the function of the skin. Once we complete that, I believe that the skin itself could be used for transplantation, or use the skin as a model to develop cosmetics or drugs, or for leather products that do not require harming the animal, or to cover prosthetic limbs and legs.
The lab-grown skin is much weaker than the natural type. It's unable to survive long without nutrient supply and waste removal. For now, the team plans to address those issues and also include more sophisticated features. They want to add hair follicles, sweat glands, and sensory neurons to the skin. A Belgian company is trying to combat urban waste by transforming used coffee grounds into edible mushrooms that can also be used in construction. The mycelium is grown in a damp cellar in Brussels. Some 5 tons of coffee grounds are collected each month from partner cafes. They are then mixed in drums where the oyster mushroom spores are added and mixed with straw in a sack. The mushrooms emerge from slashes in the sacks 15 days afterwards and are ready to be sent to shops for sales. The business owners say they are looking to expand their business and use coffee and mushrooms as an environmentally friendly alternative to plastic.
Each day we throw away a lot of coffee, and this coffee to be produced needs a lot of energy from the cultivation to the transportation to Europe, and it's just a pity not to use it more than a few minutes to drink a coffee.
The company has already tested out its fungus-based insulating tiles and received its first order of these tiles for soundproofing purposes. Jacket says they hope to produce 12 tons of the mycelium material per month when they gather enough investment. The business owner says there is no shortage of raw material as coffee is widely consumed in Belgium. Jacket says the innovation can dramatically cut down on plastic waste.
China launches 3 astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The 3 blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a 3-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and 2 more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the 3 parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to 2 more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found 2 additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around 12 similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there will be many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers from every nook and cranny of the earth. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing well and everything is just fine with you. This is IRIB English Radio, and here is your favorite realm. Welcome to the cozy corner of Youth Station. A member of this station, your friend Asma, is at your service. And here, on my side, I have my dear friend and my bestie, Zainab.
Assalamu alaikum, Asma.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Thank you. It's just good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
Well. Alhamdulillah.
So, today we're talking about the story of best friends. Who is your best friend, Zainab?
Asma, it's not one person.
Of course, beside me.
Asma, it's not just been one person. Mm-hmm. To begin with.
Of course.
Who is your best friend?
Of course.
I think through all phases of life, there have been different people. Like as I was a child, I had one best friend. As mm-hmm. I grew up, I was in college, I had some other best friend. And then as I was in the university, I had some other best friend. And now I'm in Iran,
so
I have some other best friend.
So the best friend is not actually one person.
It cannot tell one
We're
person
to be best
person.
We're just going to say the characteristics of best friends.
Yes.
Because we have many best friends.
We have many best friends. And mm-hmm. I think all those are add-ons. For example, if I had someone as my best friend as I was a child, does not mean that best friend is not my best friend today.
Exactly.
What are others are add-ons like we have in our computer screens.
Pretty sure, yes.
Yeah, you have add-on option. You just have
like
one,
the leaves of the tree.
You have extension, then you mm-hmm. add on another extension, then you add on another extension on your system. The same way best friends get added on into your lives.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I have had so many best friends. And if you want to know the name of the best person, best friend I have in Iran, I didn't find in the past 7 years I have been living here, is sitting right next to me, in
Thank
front
you.
Of me, and her
and
name
I
is
have
Asma.
And the pleasure is all mine, actually.
Wow.
She's my best friend as well. One
wow.
of the diamonds of the world.
Thank you, Asma.
So, the first thing I would say about best friend, she has a heart of gold. For a best friend to be called as that big name that we're hearing, she or he must have a heart of gold.
Yes,
which
must
means
have. Mm-hmm.
They must be pretty transparent.
Yes.
Honest. You know, with that little word comes a lot of subcategories.
Subcategories. And I think the most important of all is caring.
Caring, yes.
I mean, all the people I remember throughout my life, mm-hmm. I have included in my best friend list are those who have cared for me or I have cared for
them. Stood for you whenever you had difficulties.
Whenever I was in difficult
then,
times.
Those friends would remain forever in our heart. The
of
trace
course.
They leave in our heart is unforgettable.
Yes.
Because the friends in difficulties are the true friends.
Are the true friends. So how did you meet your best friend, Asma?
Well, just as you mentioned it, there is no one person. My best friends are pretty much kind. They are honest. And as you just mentioned it pretty well, they're caring. Very much caring, actually.
Very much like caring.
They, you know, once I read it somewhere that friends are siblings from other parents
wow.
that God give to us.
Yes.
And it is very true.
That's so true.
So I have never had any sisters in my life. I mean, a true sister that comes with blood, I never had in my life.
Yes.
And it has always been a matter of, you know, I
that
always...
emptiness you had there.
So...
And best friends filled that.
Exactly.
Alhamdulillah.
When I look at my best friend, I see that if I had a sister, she would have been like this. So the feeling that the best friend gives to you is
that
right like the, yes, like siblings, like family, you know?
Family.
The way my father cares for me, nobody else would care for me.
Yes.
That thing exists, a bit of that thing exists in my friends. So
yes.
You can understand that now clearly.
Of course.
So the sort of caring that you would see only from your family members, your best friends would share with you.
Yes.
And also another point, Zainab, a good friend is the one who believes in Allah.
Wow.
Because...
Who takes you to him.
Exactly. Who would remind me of him. That's for another
okay.
story. But at the first point, she or he must be a believer. You know, because those who believe in a certain Almighty, they have red lines. And when they have red lines, they fear something. And when they fear something, they would never do anything to harm you. You know what I mean?
Yes, of course.
Because human beings are sort of creatures that when they have no boundaries, they are very dangerous.
They become dangerous.
Very much dangerous. They turn into beasts, actually.
Yes.
So the friends that believe in God and they have a strong creed would be safe friends, and you will always be sure that they're not going to harm me.
Yes.
What do you say about a break?
All right.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back to Youth Station. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Today we're discussing the story of best friends.
While I was a child, I was friends with a person, namely Taha.
Mm-hmm.
And
beautiful name.
Yes, Taha had no father. Brought up by a single parent, and Taha had a little like a facial structure in a kind of way. His children in the school bus used to tease Taha a lot.
To mock him, to make fun of him.
Exactly. So,
such a bad thing.
And then I was, and when I started seeing all that, not knowing all those people, just knowing that if I start supporting this person,
uh-huh.
I am going to turn rebellious against all of them. And when I saw this teasing all the day, I just stood up and told them, what has happened to you?
Oh my God.
Aren't you humans? If you want to like tease Taha, you should tease me first, all right? Our parents were already knowing that these people care for each other. They if one gets teased, another one stands up. If one fails in the homework, another one comes and helps in the homework. And then the best part I love about our friendship was that the moment we came to know about the guidelines of Islam,
mm-hmm.
both respected and both parted ways.
Yeah.
And both started making the connection a little less. But we respect ourselves, each
so
other.
So here, You mentioned another point, Zainab. So we can say that best friends, I mean, there are restrictions for best
friends. There are restrictions.
But you are children, you know.
I was a child. There Alhamdulillah, are. Our parents were Muslims and they made us aware, like, you know, guys.
Mm. And you were very understanding children.
Friends all the time. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have to understand this fact at some point of our life. And if you want to continue your friendship, you can continue through prayers. Like, and that's the way I think I am continuing my friendship with them, by praying for them, by praying to Allah, like, never get some bad situation for them.
I guess best friends are familiar to everyone, so there is no need for making clarifications on the point that best friends are kind, are honest, are...
And the story we discussed
and
was
saying up some an important point I remembered. A good friend would never betray you. Would never stab you in the back.
Stab you in the back, yes.
Because you know, some it people happens a lot.
Some people wear the mask of being your good friend and they stab you so hard at your back. So yes, I think good friends or best friends are the ones who stand for you when you're in tough times, when you're alone, who are there for you, who care for you, and as you rightly mentioned, who take you towards Allah, who do not drag you away from Allah.
Zainab, sometimes best friends turn into best enemies. You know
what you know, I mean? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that. He says that be aware of your best friends.
Exactly.
You're telling, you're opening up all your secrets. Your best friend can turn into your worst enemy tomorrow.
So also take a careful note of this point that not all your best friends are going to remain your best friends for ever
after. Imam is warning us. Your best friend can turn into your worst enemy tomorrow. So beware. So the point that we can deduce over here from this narration is that do not open up secrets with everyone.
Exactly.
Even if it's your best friend, even if Asma is sitting right now next to me.
Exactly.
Not every truth is like obligatory to be revealed to you.
Exactly.
If I want to prove my friendship to you, I need to stand by you.
Moderation works everywhere.
Yes.
We have to go like moderately. There's no way for us to go for extreme sides.
Extreme sides, yes.
Not too close. You know, there was also another quotation came into my mind from Gandhi. He says, don't get so close to me in a way that our fire...
You get obsessed.
In a way that the fire between us would burn us. And don't go too far away from me so that we get freezed with the ice that has been made between
us. Wow, that's so nice.
It is very nice. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and Zainab, we're talking about...
Best friends.
Everyone's favorite topic.
Yes.
So coming too close would burn you and getting too much away would freeze you.
Feel the warmth, but don't get burnt.
Yes, and just like a sun.
Don't
stay
go too
in
away
a suitable
that you get freeze
distance.
Up.
Yes.
So, we're talking about the characteristics. I think the one of the characteristics is that the friend should be caring.
But and we already mentioned
best
the
friend
fact
is not
that
someone that you have to reveal secrets to.
Exactly.
Because Imam is saying... the same person, the one who is your best friend today, may be turned into your worst enemy tomorrow. So secrets are not meant to be revealed.
Yes.
Because most of the people think that the one we can reveal secrets to is our best friend.
And you know, time has changed and this social media has made everything so horrible. So friendships also are prone to different sort of dangers.
Dangers.
Therefore, take care of every single person you pick as your best friend. And we already mentioned the fact that when you are picking a friend, try to notice the fact that they are believers. They believe in Allah and they care about every single action they take. The boundaries, yes.
The lines they have created, yes.
So that was all that we had about best friends because, again, we are running out of time.
Yes, we have so much to talk on best friends, but just to give just again.
That's
best
our
friends.
Usual thing. We have a lot of things to say, but time flies so fast.
Time flies so far. So best friends are the ones who are caring enough, who care for you,
who best friends are like your family.
Yes, and one more quote I remember at the end of the session from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says that if you want to give advice to your best friend, give him advice in alone, like somewhere you find him alone. Do not give him advice in front of tens
in
of
solitude.
People.
In solitude. Yes. Not in front of a crowd.
Not in front of a crowd. Because if you're going to do that, you are actually going to degrade him more. Take care of his respect. So Imam is kind of trying to tell us, respect your friend. You know, so respect
is
most.
So we could also find best friends through the description of our Imam's.
Narrations. Yes, the narrations that Imams have mentioned. Your friend should be a true believer. Because once your friend is a true believer, the friend is going to take you towards Allah. Your friend should trust you.
Exactly.
He should understand you. She should understand you wherever you are. And the person should be extremely caring, should be kind. And the most important thing is your friend should be honest.
Exactly. And I am proud of my best friend. With my best friend, I bid you farewell.
Yes, best friends provide strength, so make friends.
Exactly. That was a nice...
Choose wisely.
That's the point. So thank you for listening.
You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
Your favorite station, youth station.
Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullah.
Wa barakatuh.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are presently taking our inspiration from the 16th sermon of Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about that program, that timetable that strategy that he wills to apply in the society so as to achieve the aim and objective of that community. And we discussed that the main objective, one of the main important objectives, is to fight against the class difference that exists in the society. The difference in between the rich and the poor, the difference between the lavish and the downtrodden. This difference is one that that destroys a society. And in fact, one of the signs of a redundant society, a redundant community, is when this class difference becomes very stark and very immense. When it starts to become like that, then we can begin to count down the downfall of that society.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we say that Imam Ali alayhi salam had mentioned and in Nahjul Balagha that we need to take lessons from the society. We need to take lessons from history and see what has happened in the past and weigh the present situation with the criteria we learn from the past. And this is something repetitive in the society. So now those important principles that repeat themselves in the society, those societal general principles that repeat, that are called the Sunan of Allah, these are the ones that Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to draw our attention towards. One of those particular verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, clearly talks about a certain general societal principle is this verse of the Quran that we mentioned previously in Surah Isra, verse number 16, that he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا مترفيها ففسقوا فيها فحق عليها القول فدمرناها تدميرا. That when we decide to destroy a community, in other words, when a community is about to be, a community reaches a level of deterioration, that now it is about to get destroyed, what happens? Amarna mutrafiha. The rich and lavish people, those people of the upper class who are vast, who are vastly ahead of the poor class, they begin to transgress in it, on earth, in that community. And then once they transgress, when they do the oppressive actions that they perform, then that community becomes destroyed. Fadammarnaha tadmira. So now this is a general principle, and of course this is a principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instated, that when human beings, they transgress, they overdo, when this gap between the rich and the poor increases in a community, then know that that community will get destroyed. And this is when, you see, the reason is when a person starts to get this richness and starts to, you know, become lavish in his lifestyle without keeping track of the commandments of God, then he starts to become a transgressor. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Certainly the human being, he is a transgressor. Why? Because أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Because he thinks that he is needless. He thinks he is too rich, he is too lavish, he has everything. And when he starts to think like that, then he becomes an oppressive person, he becomes a transgressor.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are talking about some of the general principles, societal principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this world. And one of them is that when the society becomes divided, whereby the rich class becomes very rich and the poor become very poor, then know that that society is about to reach and achieve its destruction. And we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran talks about these people who, when they become too rich, they suddenly feel that they do not need God, and therefore they start to transgress because they're not keeping track of themselves. So when people start to transgress and they earn a lot of money and they start to commit sins and they start to have a lavish lifestyle and they start to become corrupt, then they start to create destruction in the society. They stand up, they wake up, they show themselves off in the society, and they begin to, you know, live that complete lavish lifestyle, and they now make it a point to suck the resources of the poor people, and they start to act in such a way that even those things that are not necessary for them are so valuable that they substitute even those necessary items of the poor people. That means sometimes they spend so much that it would be equivalent to the food of a whole family for a whole year, let's say, just for something extra and something unneeded. Just imagine how much they spend on their animals. Okay, the amount of food that they spend for one day for their dogs is equivalent to the food of 1 week of a poor person and his family. That's how much they spend on their dogs. Or for example, they spend in one night, they call a party, and in that party, the amount of money they spend is equivalent to the food and the needs of a whole city. These are statistics, the proven statistics. This is how they start to work. So this is now when these rich guys, when they become lavish, and now that because of that difference that exists in the society, they now take full force in the direction of corruption and oppression. And this is now causing a downfall for the whole community. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects us from this situation. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of The Subcontinent.
The Subcontinent.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Subcontinent. On this program, we will address the most important issues in the South Asian region that affect the governments, organizations, communities, and most importantly, the people. And as always, we will dissect the issues and present you with different perspectives from experts and people. So, stay with us.
In this edition of the subcontinent, in light of the Iranian foreign minister's visit to India, we'll assess the opportunities and challenges ahead for the development of ties between the two nations. We'll also take a look at the worldwide protests of the Muslim community to derogatory comments made by BJP officials against the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and their implications for India.
On the 8th of June, the Iranian foreign minister, accompanied by a high-ranking delegation, visited New Delhi to meet with Indian politicians, trade officials and other notable dignitaries. During this visit, the two sides held extensive talks discussing various fields of interest, which showcased the willingness of both parties to expand ties on all fronts. Creating a blueprint for long-term cooperation between the two countries is one of the main objectives of this visit, apart from discussing recent global and regional developments. A goal that appears more necessary than ever in the aftermath of the economic stagnation that occurred in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic is solving conflicts in Europe and the global food and energy crisis.
Looking at historical context, Iran and India have maintained long-lasting ties, but these ties have been subjected to global and regional developments of recent decades, causing a fluctuation in bilateral relations. India is a newly emerging superpower that the IMF predicts will become the third global economic powerhouse by 2025, after the US and China. The requirement for long-term energy supplies as the fourth consumer of oil after China, US and Russia means it cannot ignore Iran, which holds the world's second largest reserve of natural gas and the third largest oil reserves. 2 days before his speech at GlobeSec 2022 in Bratislava, Jaishankar stated, "If the US and Europe want to limit other countries' imports from Russia, they must bring Iran and Venezuela as alternative import options back to the table." From another perspective, access to countries in West Asia, Europe and the Persian Gulf is an important objective for India that can be best achieved through Iran. The visit by the Iranian foreign minister and his accompanying delegation and the talks held with high-ranking Indian officials come at a time when the global food and energy crisis caused by the Russia-Ukraine war is heralding new challenges for India, like many other nations. On the other hand, a balanced approach to foreign policy and mutual political security and economic interests necessitates the furthering of ties between Iran and India if they aim to achieve mutual goals.
India considers Iran a significant supplier of energy and a bridge to reach Afghanistan, West Asia and Europe. For the Islamic Republic, India is one of the countries that can help Iran achieve its look to the east policy. Meanwhile, shared concerns for security in Afghanistan and Central Asia, along with India's policy to balance relations between the east and the west, have made Iran a focal point in India's global and regional politics.
We can trace India's interest in Central Asia to the economic and cultural exchanges along the ancient Silk Road. These exchanges that include all aspects of politics, economy and culture in conjunction with India-Pakistan's deteriorating ties have arguably made Chabahar port the best or perhaps the only viable access point for India in its attempts to reach Afghanistan and other Central Asian countries. Moreover, access to Europe and increasing India's influence and power in the Persian Gulf and West Asia would prove most difficult without proper cooperation and coordination with Iran. In pursuit of clear geopolitical and geoeconomic gains, especially when it comes to the Chabahar project, the Indian government has inked several cooperation agreements with Iran over the past two decades. The Chabahar port is one of the main variables that can lead to improved economic relations and subsequently the formation of a lasting political link between Iran, India and Afghanistan, a link that New Delhi seems to pursue as one of its priorities in its policies toward the new Iranian government.
Now to have more insights, we are joined by Mr. Karim Sharara, an Iranian affairs expert from Beirut, Lebanon. Now, Mr. Sharara, welcome to the program. Now, considering furthering political and economic ties can be beneficial to both Iran and India, how do you assess the prospects of cooperation between the two nations?
Okay. I think both countries stand to gain a lot from cooperation with one another. On the one hand, of course, Iran, as President Raisi has said time and time again, is trying to increase its cooperation with its neighboring countries. So on the one hand, you have the relationship with the Axis of Resistance, or countries that are that have very strong relations with Iran. So we're talking here about Iraq, Syria, and the strategic depth that Iran has in the region, in West Asia, I mean. And on the other hand, you also have